James chapter 3. You guys doing okay today?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Who said that? We're good?
Thank you for asking.
Kelly, Bo Belly. You know all the rest. I heard Ray singing the whole thing this morning. So we're family here together, right? And we're just gonna get into the Word and see what God's Word has to say. You know, it's not what's important is not what I say. What's important is what God says in His Word. And I say all that because we don't always like to hear what He has to say, and we don't like to hear it repeated, right, again and again. But that's what we're going to see here again today. So last week we talked about the teachers, you know, and speaking and teaching is an important part of the life of the church. The life of the church from its inception, you know, there were teachers who would teach the people, and it's very, very important. But he points out, James says there in verse 1, that it's a very serious responsibility and that we are going to be held accountable. Those who teach will be held accountable, be judged more strictly. Because why? Because you're handling the Word of God. You're not just handling some, you know, psychologist or, you know, a philosopher's information. This is the Word of God that you're handling. So it's a very serious thing. And not only that, but it deals with eternal matters. So if you mislead someone about how to get into the kingdom of God, how to be part of the family of God, you're going to be held responsible for that. So it's very serious. We take it very seriously, and just we take the Word of God seriously. There are a lot of churches who don't take it very seriously. It's kind of a little addendum. Which is it? One of those. But we know that God wants to speak, and so for teachers it's super important. And by way of review, a couple things from last week. The teachers must teach themselves first. It's got to be something they take in themselves. And secondly, they need to live what they teach. If I get up here and teach you something and I go out and do the exact opposite, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? I heard David Jeremiah on the radio this morning when I was driving here, and he was talking about, you know, sometimes the witness of Christians is just horrible. And it doesn't make people want to, you know, give their lives to Christ, but because of what they see in Christians. That shouldn't be that way. And Jesus, you know, would have a lot to say about that. So we all need to be teachable. And the most important subject that the Bible talks about is Jesus. Paul said, you know, if I'm going to teach anything, if I'm going to know anything among you, it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the cross, Jesus. Gets back to Him. So, today, no big deal. You know, sometimes you take something that's very small, no big deal, it's just small, it's something small. It doesn't really affect much. But in our passage today, we're going to look at some things that are very small, but they have a very big effect, right? You say, it's no big deal. It's just a little thing. You know, it's just the bit, you know, that they put in the horse's mouth, or the rudder that steers the ship, or the spark that can create a huge fire. James applies that thinking to the tongue. We're going to talk about that. Let's read verses 2 through 6, James chapter 3. He says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider What a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. James really knows how to pack a punch, doesn't he? Now, the subject is what? It's about what we say. It's about our tongue. And he's already been talking about it in the book a few times already. And he comes back to that. And you know, what we say, how we speak, what comes out of our mouths. You're going to talk about that again? Why again? Why do we have to keep going over and over again? Why do you have to go over your times tables when you're a kid? How many of you did your times table one time and you got it? That's it. Anna? Wow, you're amazing. She raised her hand.
That's why I'm a bookkeeper.
That's right. Now, there are some who are gifted in that way, you know, maybe geniuses. I didn't know you were a genius. But the rest of us, we have to be, you know, repetition. We got to hear it again. And James says it again, you know, what you say and how you speak makes a difference. And that little tiny thing can just create this huge effect. We say, it's no big deal, I just said it, you know, I can talk and do whatever, I talk and talk and talk. You know, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about this idea of repetition. Listen what he says. He says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things. He was talking about something else, but the point is about repetition. He says, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth that you have been taught, you already know this stuff, he says, and it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. He said, for our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. He says, I got to keep saying this stuff over so I know for sure when I'm gone, and I'm going to be gone soon. So I'm going to keep hammering on this until you get it and remember. When I'm not here, you're going to remember. Not what I say here specifically, but what James says and what Jesus says is it matters what you say. You're going to remember that. Maybe you'll remember, hey, you know, that guy, excuse me, he kept talking about, you know, speech. He kept talking about what came out of my mouth. He kept bringing it up. I almost stopped going to church because he kept talking about it. I was just getting tired of hearing the same message over and over and over again. I hope I wasn't reading any of your thoughts. But that would, to me, that would be a blessing that after I'm not here, and I don't know when I'm going to leave this earthly life, but that you would remember what God's Word said because I just taught you and told you what God's Word said. That would be a blessing. So what does he say here? Well, let's look back at it in verse 2. He says, we all stumble in many ways. And you know, James isn't saying, you know, that we're perfect, but the word here literally means all without exception. And the tense of it is present tense, active. We are all stumbling in many ways. And the context is what? What we say. So this affects all of us, all without exception, that we need to pay attention to this. Don't say, well, that doesn't affect me. You can say, I never blow it with what I say. Or you say, I just never talk. And so that doesn't apply to me. No. It applies to every single one of us. We know the Bible says that we're all sinners. No one, there's not anyone who does not sin, the Bible says. There's no one righteous, not even one. We've all sinned. The Bible makes that clear. And this specifically is an area that we need to pay attention to. We're going to see that why in a second. There's no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned. And James could just stop there and say it didn't really matter. You know, but it does matter. And James goes on, and the point being is, yeah, it's true. We all blow it, and we have blown it, and we're going to blow it again. But don't let that stop us from paying attention and paying attention to what comes out of our mouths and working at pressing on towards being better at it. Oh, no, I'm just a sinner. I can't stop myself. No, that's like a defeated attitude, right? No, you can. You can control what you say. I can control what I say. We got to press on towards doing what's right in what we say. You see, the reason that this is important, I think, is because it says that if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, or mature is another way to translate that word, able also to bridle his whole body. In other words, if we can control what we say and control this speech thing, we can control other areas too. If we can't control that area, then everything else is like out of control. If we get this right, because it's the hardest, right? If you can get the hardest down, then the other stuff's going to be easier in comparison. You see, I think that's what James is trying to say. David Guzik said, if we have control over the tongue, it's an indication that we have control over ourselves. The bit and the rudder are small but extremely important. If they're not controlled, then you're out of control. If nobody is got the reins, if nobody's got the rudder, then the horse and the boat, they're out of control. They're just going to go wherever. No control whatsoever. You know, the truth of the matter is in this particular area in ourselves, some of us, we have no hands on the reins or the rudder. You know what I mean by that? You just say anything, whatever pops into your mind. Now, has that ever got you into trouble? Just say it. Just go, you know, just let it all out. Or you talk endlessly, or you say stupid things without thinking. Hurtful things. Got to get our hands on the reins. Hands on the rudder. Okay, let's change subjects, right? Not. That, some of you have not seen him. That's Isaac. Angelina and Mark. I got a picture, another picture I'm going to show you, but I said, can I show this picture? Not this one. I'll show you in a second. And she said, yeah, but you got to show some cuter pictures of him too. And I said, they're all cute. I'm like so biased. Like so biased. Right? I could just look at that all day. And that's his favorite little animal there. Oh, look at that. But this is my favorite here. You see what I mean? See, I'm not really changing the subject because what sticks out over here? Right? I just made that pun up, but, you know, what is he doing? He's sticking out his tongue. Look at that. I said, stick out your tongue for the camera, and he just did it. Wow. See, that was a lie. That was a total lie. The tongue, you know, is so small, but it's such a big deal. We can say it's not a big deal, but it is. This tiny little part of the mouth, you know. They say there's like 8 muscles in your tongue. 8 muscles, who would have thought? And it does all kinds of stuff, right? You know, it's important for being able to chew. It's important for swallowing. It's important for tasting, right? But it's also important for what? Speaking. And that's what James is talking about here. Now, if you know, and this is obviously just an approximation, but the tongue by weight is approximately, and it varies, of course, a lot. And you have depends on the size of the person and everything else, but it's about 0.2% by body weight. 0.2%, not even 1%,
Not half a percent, 0.2% by body weight. And yet James is saying that little 0.2% can do all kinds of stuff. It's the same, the big ship, the Queen Elizabeth. You've heard of the Queen Elizabeth? It was like a big, and I think they turned it into a cruise ship or something. But the rudder of that ship was about the same, 0.2% by weight. But yet this massive ship was controlled by this tiny, tiny little thing. Same with the bit of a horse, you know, it's just a tiny little piece of metal, right? It goes in the mouth of the horse. And the horse, you know, is huge and very, very strong. Verse 3, that's what he said. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. And we can turn the whole animal, this small piece of metal, to make them listen, to obey, and to yield. But, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, when you have a horse doesn't automatically obey a bit and bridle, right? It's got to be trained. It's got to be taught. And it's the same with us. We don't hear these verses and automatically say, okay, I got that now. I heard the word. No, James says, well, you hear the word, but you've got to do the word. And so you and I, we need to teach ourselves, train ourselves how we speak and hold back. Maybe, you know, have the 1 second or 3 second rule before you say something. Well, just think about it for a second instead of just blurting it out. Same with the ships in verse 4. Take ships as an example. Although they're so large, driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. This very small rudder affects this huge, gigantic ship. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It makes great boasts. That word there is mega aukeo. And someone translated it like this, to talk big. You ever hear anybody talking big? No, I've never heard that before. We're kind of prone to that, you know. One of the neighbor kids was in our yard, and he was playing basketball, and I said to him, why are you playing basketball? I just kind of joked with him a little bit. I said, why are you playing basketball? And he said, because I'm so good at it. He can't even hardly make a basket. But we can talk big, right? We can say all kinds of stuff. Psalm 12 says this, everyone, and it's interesting, he starts off with the word everyone, verse 2. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips, every boastful tongue, those who say, by our tongues we will prevail. Our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? That pretty much says it all. You know, this tongue, it's capable of so much, right? But it's negative and also positive, you know, bad and also good, right? What are some of the negative things? We can think of a whole bunch of negative things, right? What are some of the negative things that we can do with our tongue speaking?
Mocking,
yeah. What else?
Gossip.
No, we never do that. What else?
Lying.
Ooh. I just lied a while ago. What else?
Judging,
yeah. How about exaggeration? Extravagant exaggeration. Hyperbole. How about slander? How about criticism? How about blasphemy? How about false language? How about just being plain mean? Man, the list can go on and on. But how about on the good side? Let's not, you know, say it's all bad, because, you know, the tongue can be used to speak good stuff too. And what about that? What's on the good side?
Encouragement,
yeah. What else?
Blessing,
yeah. The Bible is full of these blessings that were spoken. And you know, the blessing in Numbers chapter 6, you know, the blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you. And it says the priests, they would say those words and speak those words over the people. What else?
Edification,
yeah, building someone up. You can build someone up. On the opposite side, you can certainly tear someone down, right? What else?
Praising God.
Praise, yes.
Prayer.
How about comfort? Your words can comfort. You know, there's so much good that can come out of it. You know. So you say it's no big deal? This little tiny 0.2% of my body is not... No, it is a big deal. He says here, think about like a spark and this little spark that can set a huge forest on fire. That's what James is saying, that the capability, the impact of this can be. This huge effect. But he gets pretty strong here, doesn't he? In verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow! The tongue is a flame. Warren Wiersbe said that it can through lies and gossip and heated words set a whole family or church on fire. And the soot from the fire can defile everybody involved. That which is left afterwards. Jesus said, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles of a man. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. The stuff that, it's not the stuff we eat that defiles us. I say that because we're having a potluck today. But what comes out of our mouths, that defiles us. That's going to defile you and me. You know, the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones. What's the rest? You know, what a lie. What a total lie that is. I asked, you know, a couple of the grandkids, you know, do you know that? And I said, is that true? And they all said immediately, no, that's not true. They knew already. I said, so why do we say that? I said, well, we try, just like to try to kid ourselves and try to, you know, talk ourselves out of the impact of somebody's words. But words can hurt. Words can hurt bad. You know, they can hurt, you know, they can hurt others when we speak them. They can hurt us when they're spoken to us. You know, how many of you can remember when somebody said something to you and it just like hurt you so badly? He says it's set on fire by hell. And the word there is Gehenna. The lake of fire, the place of future punishment, I'm quoting here, called Gehenna or Gehenna of fire. And this was originally the Valley of Hinnom. That's where the word Gehenna comes from, the Valley of Hinnom. It's just south of Jerusalem, where the filth and the dead animals of the city were cast out and burned. And it was always burning, always burning. Man, I don't know about you, but, you know, do you want the words to come out of your mouth? They come from this foul place called hell. It's a place of eternal punishment.
It's where the enemy's going to end up, right? Devil, he says he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. No big deal, would I say. I think the biggest understatement is this, that we need God's help. That's the biggest understatement. We need God's help. We do. I need God's help to be used for good, not for evil. If you have your bulletin there, I printed these in there for you to take home with you because I wanted you to see them. And in the bulletin there, Proverbs, I put three different verses there. And, you know, James, people compare him to the Proverbs writer because that's the kind of things that he would write, kind of like those pithy sayings. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life, both, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Isn't that wonderful? Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And that is powerful. How many of you ever get depressed? And when someone comes along, they just say just a good word to you, and you just lifts you right out of that place. You see, what you say, what I say, we can help someone. We can do some good. We can bring life and not death. We can certainly kill a lot of people by our words. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. The next one on there, Song of Solomon. I think I have it on there. Song of Solomon, he says, beware of the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, the little things. They go in and just wreck the whole vineyard. And the tongue, beware, watch out. Oh, no big deal, it's just a little thing. Jesus said to the religious people, Jesus didn't hold back anything, did he? You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your word you will be acquitted, and by your word you will be condemned. We're going to have to give account for what comes out of our mouths. We're going to have to give account for this stuff. Psalm 39, David says, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. You ever see those dogs that have to have like a muzzle on them to keep them from biting? Sometimes that's what we need, right? Proverbs 10, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Sometimes we talk so much that we can't stop the stupid things. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And this is my favorite. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. This is Peter talking, but he's actually quoting from the Old Testament, Psalm 34. He who would love life, whoever would love life and see good days. You want to love life? You want to see good days? Well, the psalmist says, and Peter repeats it, that it's got to do with what comes out of our mouths. One more quote there of Pastor Chuck in your bulletin. He said, speaking about the tongue, he says, it's small, but what trouble it can get us into. what fires it can spark. It has capacity for great blessings or for great evil. We can use our tongues to bless people, build them up, to encourage them, or we can use our tongues to destroy them. That's pretty serious, isn't it? That's real. This is real. This is not philosophy, people. This is the Word of God that's teaching us this here today. Finally, let's finish with Jesus, right? Every tongue that should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ultimately, this is where it all begins, that we confess that Jesus is my Lord, that He is your Lord. You know, one day it's all going to happen. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen one day. But so much better to do it now, before we get there, because our choice is already made. It's too late then to make our choice now, that we bow our knees to Jesus. Our tongues confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That understatement, we need God's help. It begins by confessing Him as our Lord, as my Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, work in me. That's where the words come from. Jesus talked about, you know, they come out of the heart. Lord, put good stuff in me, that good stuff would come out. Because, you know, there's still a lot of ugliness and meanness and wickedness in us. The sin nature, the flesh that we fight against, you know. One day we're going to be rid of that, thank God. But right now it's still a battle. We got to fight. You don't just switch, you know, throw a switch and now you're just Mr. or Miss, you know, perfect person. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess, yeah, we stumble in many, many ways. We all do. But we also confess that You're our Lord, and if You are our Lord, we pray that You would help us and guide us and strengthen us. And even as we go home today and we talk to one another in the car or to one another at home or even here in this building before we leave, help us to be people that speak good things and truth. Doesn't mean that we'll never say something that's difficult, but Lord, we need Your help. Your word says that if we can get this right, well, we can get everything right. We can bridle the whole body. So it's pretty important, Lord. Help us, we pray. I pray for any that maybe have never bowed their knee to Jesus, never confessed Him as Lord. And today is a good day to do that. You need Jesus in your life. You need Him now, not after you die. Too late to confess Him then. You will, but you won't have the benefit. So today is a good day to say, Jesus, I bow my knee, I bow my heart before You. I ask You to forgive me, and I ask You to be my Lord, my Savior, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing that song one more time.